And if you have any kind of a home improvement question, we'd love to hear from you. Either call us or text us, 651-461-9226. Good morning to you, Andy Lindis.
Good morning, Denny. How are you doing today?
I'm doing quite well. We're at least in our neck of the woods. We're getting a little bit of rain that should be over here in another hour or two. I don't know where you are, but it's, again, much needed rain, at least in our part of the country. So we're glad to see it, but then it should be clearing up. What's been happening this past week with the Lindis Construction?
Oh, a little bit of everything. You know, this time of year, we're, you know, it's a full court press. A lot of people working 6 days a week, 50, 60 hour weeks, because we just trying to get everything wrapped up before the snow starts flying. And we've had plenty of years where we've already been in the snow this time of year. If you remember the great Halloween storm shutting things down about 20 years ago. Actually, I think it's more than 20 years ago. The Halloween storm, wasn't that like 1998?
91.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. So, you know, we always try to do as much as we can, because there's some people that would like to get their home improvements done yet this fall that I know we're going to end up pushing to spring, roofing especially. But as far as everything else goes, we've been putting in a lot of footings, a lot of decks. We've completed more decks the last 50 days than at any other time in the fourth quarter. So pretty excited about that. Still have a lot of decks to install, but we'll see how we can get through the rest of the fall here.
Yeah, it's. I know there's all these weather predictions. They're saying, yes, could be what they call a La Nina, which is maybe colder weather and more snow. And then somebody's, well, wait a minute, that could change. So we're still getting, as my late meteorologist friend Milt Lefevre called it, called this weather forecasting an inexact science. That's exactly what it is.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes, it is.
If you have any, again, a home improvement question, that's what we're waiting for, 651-461-9226. I'm looking at a text. Actually, there's a couple of them. Maybe we could take care of these. Interesting, actually. I always hesitate when someone wants to ask, how much would it cost to do this? There's so many variables. But this listener says, first, what do you think would be a ballpark figure? Maybe we could talk about a range of cost to install a bathroom exhaust fan in a small bathroom in a 1959 ranch style home. Okay, that's one of the questions. How would you feel that one?
You know, I think I can ballpark that pretty good. A lot of it's going to depend on how we have to exhaust it out and where we can get electricity from. You know, if we're replacing like a light fixture with a light fixture slash bath fan combo, and then trying to go it up through the attic, and then that $2,000 to $4,000 range, I think you're pretty safe on what those cost. So that's I'd be comfortable giving you that type of ballpark. But the nice part about us, Denny, is if you have us come out and give you a free estimate, we're going to be able to, within about 90 minutes, we can give you an exact cost on what that is going to be.
I'm glad you brought that up again. Yeah, that first visit always free, and then you get the estimate right there. You don't have to, you know, nobody's going to force you to. There's no pressure whatsoever. But the part of this question, which is, I guess, a positive part, there is an easy attic access, listener says, and a GFI outlet located where we would want the switch to be. So that's good. Second question from this listener, and this is an interesting one where we talk about roofing, and we do that, we talk about that a lot here on the show. Their second question is, why would I want to pay extra to get the 40 or 50 year warranty on a new roof if most insurance companies tell you to replace your roof every 15 years? Now, first of all, is that true? Do insurance companies say that?
The insurance companies are not saying that. I think where they're deducing that from, and it's not every insurance company, not all of them have this policy, where what we're seeing is anywhere from year 12 to year 20. So that's where the 15 year comes in. But most of them, I've read the actual insurance policy, it's year 20 when your policy, it's not that they don't get covered, it goes from a actual cash value policy and not the recoverable policy. So you're the depreciated amount. So at that point in time, it's a 40-year roof, probably be depreciated by about 40 or 50%. Meaning that after year 20, the insurance company is only going to cover about half of the cost of the roof. The reason why you should look at a systems plus, a systems type warranty through the roofing manufacturer, or like what we offer, the Golden Pledge warranty with a class 4 shingle, is because class 4 shingles have the strongest chance to hold up to any type of impact, meaning hail, branches, things of that nature. And the reason why you look at adding all of those, like making sure you're getting the strongest warranty the manufacturer has to offer, is because my experience tells me, and if you do any research online, you're going to find that almost every major manufacturer of roofing has some fails. And I've had a handful of roofs fail through GAF, but the nice part, like GAF's Golden Pledge warranty, and when we install it the proper way and document it the proper way, like we do it with this instruction, they've been covered. Like the day we get GAF to come out and look at the roof, they tell us to go ahead and get them a new roof. And there's always been zero out-of-pocket expense for the consumer. And I can't say that about every type of manufacturer. I know I can't say that about most of the decking manufacturers, most of the window manufacturers, most of the siding manufacturers. And if you're going and buying, you know, we have clients that are on our software around the country. And one of the things that is always alarming to me is the amount of roofers that go out and try to buy the cheapest shingle they can get their hands on, and that's what they're offering to their customers because they think that's how people want to buy roofing. That's just never been my experience. I can understand where people don't want to spend more, being that the insurance game is doing what it's doing. But if you install the roof the proper way and you're picking the right materials, it's not like class 4 shingles cost a crazy amount more than what ordinary shingles do. You're talking, you know, $400 or $500 on an average job. For me, that $400 or $500 is really worth spending, knowing that, you know, we've inspected hundreds of roofs that we've installed now, Denny, and have found no damage on them. It's really, really rare that I would recommend replacing a class 4 roof. And I've looked at ones that are 5, 6, 7 years old after some pretty significant hail, where my roofs are the only ones in the neighborhood not getting replaced. That's why you do it. Because if you look at like what the deductibles are going to, it's not uncommon for us to find a customer that has a $10,000 deductible. So if you spend $2,000 or $3,000 more up front to get your roof done, chances are you're going to be saving yourself $10,000 deductible down the road. But I just have way too many people that this is the second time they've replaced a roof in the last 10 or 15 years. And it shouldn't be the case. We definitely should be able to install things that last at least 15 years. And what I'm after is a roof that lasts 50 years, 5-0.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Like Linda's put on our house.
Correct.
It's who? Yeah. I mean, it just makes good financial sense. Hang on, Andy. We're going to take a quick break. Be back on the other side with more questions. If you have any kind of a home improvement question, could be about roofing, could be about decks, whatever the case may be, call us or text us, 651-461-9226 from News Talk 830 WCCO. Good morning. Welcome back to our Home Improvement Show. We are here thanks to Linda's Construction every Saturday in the 9 o'clock hour, answering any kind of a home improvement question you might have. This morning, Andy Lindis is doing all the heavy lifting there. Call us or text us if you have any particular home improvement question in mind, 651-461-9226. Andy, let's grab a call. Diane has been hanging on the line, calling in from St. Paul this morning, I believe. Thank you, Diane. What is your question for Andy?
Good morning. I have a big problem for you to help me with. I live in a two-story colonial home built in 1948 with painted cedar clapboard. And I've had problems for the last 50 years that I've been here with the east side of the house. After it's painted, it bubbles. Eventually, it cracks and splits, and it's a problem. Well, this past month, the painter who was preparing to repaint that side said he was finding areas of clapboard that were softened, and he did not think it was wise to paint. He thought I should side. Could you give me any suggestions about how to proceed at this point?
Well, something that could the siding be repaired? Possibly. We've done that with people where we've gotten cedar siding and repaired those areas before the paint went on to make sure, like the painter's right, if the wood is soft, painting it is not an option because it'll fail soon. So he's doing you a favor. Have you had anybody take a look at it and given you an estimate on what it would cost to side your house?
No, that's where I'm at this point. I'm thinking, okay, is there anything that can be done to save the siding or repair the siding? Or what am I looking at if I'm going to do a siding project?
Maybe. This is one of the things I think that we excel at. And when we come out, we were going to give you a very detailed report. And we have a lot of tools that we can use to help diagnose what's going on with the siding. And if it can be repaired, not a lot of siders have an option in their price book like we do on repairing your siding. And so we can definitely take a look at that. And then we can give you an estimate on what it costs to replace all of the siding on your home. So you can make a decision. All right, this is how much it costs to repair it. And then you got to add in the painting costs. A lot of times when you look at those two, it's not a crazy jump to go, depending on how extensive the repair is going to be, a crazy jump to go into residing the entire place. The nice part about residing the entire place, whether you choose one of our steel options or one of our LP options, is it really should be the last time you ever have to paint that home. And again, there's a lot of things. A home that's built in 1940 more than likely doesn't have the proper insulation on the walls, or the proper air infiltration mechanisms that we're going to use in the flashing and sealing up the exterior of the home. And that's one of the nice parts. Like if you choose the LP or the steel siding, the house wrap that we put on actually adds an R6 of insulation to the exterior of the home. So it's it can make a big difference. But be warned, this is also the easiest time in the world, like when you reside your house, to take a look at the windows. If the windows are also original with the house, you might want to look at redoing those. A lot of times they go hand in hand. But with us, you meet with us, we're going to be able to show you what it costs to replace all the windows, siding, and what it costs just to repair your existing siding. And I think that's, if it were me, that'd be the exercise I go through and the information I would be looking for to make a decision on how to move forward. Because siding projects can get into that, you know, $40,000-$50,000 pretty quick if you're adding doors, windows, and, you know, there's a lot of accessories you can add to the for aesthetic reasons to a siding project. So it's worth it. I think your painter is doing you a favor. That's a painter you want to hold on to, because not every painter is going to stop a job and say, like, you know what, you probably shouldn't hire me to do this, and move on. So I'd hats off to the painter for doing that. I've seen a lot of people try to paint things that should never be painted.
Yeah. Well, Diane should call Lindus, 844-9-LINDUS, 844-9-LINDUS. Yeah, call Lindus this coming week, and they'll send some folks out. And at least you have, like Andy says, you'll have all sorts of options. And you're right. One thing can lead to another, but at least you have the options to choose from. And it's a great idea. And good luck.
And Denny, too, we have a 3D model that we create. Uh-huh. So the first thing when we get to the house, we're gonna take a walk around the exterior of the home and take a series of pictures. And those pictures, we have a software that we upload them to that gives us a 3D model of your home. And then we can change the style of the siding, the color of the siding, the style of the windows, the roofing, you name it. So we can put together some renderings so you understand what your house could look like before we do any work at all. It's not only a good exercise for decision making, it's really enjoyable and fun for me and the customers to go through, because it really lets you dream a little bit and get to see what could be if you choose the proper materials.
Annie, tell me, with the vintage of that home, is Lindis able to, whatever siding that Diane would choose, to kind of look like, you know, that era? So it doesn't, you know, it's not like an obvious change. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We can keep it as close to the period time or whatever aesthetics that she likes. We can make it match. And whether it's a home built in the early 1900s, late 1800s even, we've done some things with historic homes over the years, try to make it match the era in which it was built, that you'd have a hard time knowing that it was remodeled in the last 5 years.
And I would imagine, given the ability to change, you know, with steel siding or maybe even with the LP, I mean, that would, which would be better? I guess both would solve that problem, both types, those two.
Mm-hmm. You know, the majority of our customers for those types of homes are choosing LP. I still have a soft spot in my heart for steel siding. I really think that steel siding is probably the most durable and longest lasting siding you could put on your home. With an LP product, you're going to have some maintenance that you have to make sure that you're doing. But on that same token, the drawback of steel siding is if the sun hits it, it does expand and contract and can make some popping sounds, no matter, even if it's nailed on perfectly.
Huh. That's great siding, though. All right. Tell you what, we need to take a quick break here. We'll have a look at that forecast. When we come back, we'll do more home improvement questions and answers. If you have one, by all means, I know we have some text questions to get answered. Call us or text Andy, either one, 651-461-9226. Stay with us, News Talk 830 WCCO. And good morning. Richard joining us. Andy Lind is back answering those home improvement questions either by phone or by text. Call us, text us, 651-461-9226 with whatever home improvement question is on your mind. Andy, I'm looking at a text from a listener that says, could you discuss the pros and cons of putting 1-inch styrofoam on the outside walls of new construction? Also, what is the best roof overhang distance for a new house? Let's tackle that first one first. What about this 1-inch styrofoam on the outside walls of new construction?
We haven't used a lot of styrofoam the last decade because we have access to a product called Insultex, and it is take a piece of paper and fold it twice, and that's how thick Insultex is, and it's an R6. Where before we had to go to 1.5 inches of foam in order to get that same R value. And we used to use a lot of fan fold, 3/8 foam. And, you know, you're adding an R2.5 to the exterior of the wall, and you got to Z flash it. And it was a great product. But the problem is if you go to 1.5 inches of foam, now you have to build out all the windows as well. So it just, and it's not the same. If you still have to add a house wrap or something like that or Z-flash it, so it ends up being more expensive than what the actual Insultex house wrap is going to get you. And the nice thing about Insultex, the reason why it can have an R6 and be so thin, and this is in large part thanks to the Federal Trade Commission, FTC, which brought a lawsuit against Insultex years ago, where the expert witnesses worked for companies like Pactiv and DuPont and fun stuff like that. I was actually a expert witness for the Insultex side. The nice part about it was during COVID, so I got to do it remotely, which I didn't have to fly down to Washington, D.C. for the trial. But Insultex ended up winning the trial, and they were able to prove that it is a evacuated cell and that it has to follow a torturous path in order to get to the R6. It means no matter how much we compress the Insultex product, the cells themselves do not burst and retain the R value. And we've been installing this on every siding project for about a decade now. And it really, that's what I would go to the builder. As far as overhangs go, because it is available to almost every contractor and builder now in the Twin Cities metro market if they look around for it. As far as overhang go, a 2 foot overhang is pretty much what we recommend on most instances. It all depends. You know, there's some porches and things like that if you want to get a little bit farther away from the house. But a 2 foot overhang with a proper gutter system, you should be just fine.
I know that you've talked about that Insulatex product for years now. And are there any outside of walls? I mean, are there any other applications for that product?
You know, some people have tried to put it into attics and stuff around the country. You know, just once you give somebody a new shiny tool, they try a bunch of different things with it. But we typically only are putting it on the exterior walls when we're doing siding. I don't understand why somebody want to put it down an inch of foam on new construction unless they're trying to get to the R19 with a 2x4 construction, maybe. But I don't see how that's cost effective in building that. You know, if you're installing 2x6 construction and insulating it proper, there should be plenty of insulation you're putting into the cavity where you can, with or without Insulatex, I would look at a normal house wrap then, or maybe at least price out some spray foam options on the wall as well. That might get you into a better spot.
Well, speaking of insulation, Andy, I know folks are probably calling Lindis this time of year to get that done. What is the process of somebody thinking they need some insulation? What does Lindis do when they come out to their house just looking at a job of insulation? What do the guys do?
We're going to want to look at the basement as well as the attic area. We're going to get in the attic and try to determine what type of vapor barrier you have, if you have any type of vapor barrier. We're going to look at all of the ventilation and intake that your attic has to make sure that that's up to where it needs to be. And if we're going to tell you what your existing R values are and what we could do to increase the R values and any of the attic air sealing that we would need to do to make sure that air doesn't flow into your attic very easily. Places like attic accesses, exhaust fans, electrical and plumbing dumps, and any type of can lights, false soffits in kitchen areas. Those areas are notorious to be energy wasters, where like this time of year, if you have your heat on, we get up into the attic and we take some infrared imaging, we can see all the hot spots. Or from like the basement area or anywhere else in your house, we can see where the cold spots are. And that if we can eliminate a few of those and get to the proper R value, for me, that's an R50 or R60, depending on the type of attic and how much space we actually have, you're going to be in a much better spot. Similar to what we did at your house, Denny.
Yeah.
Our goal, my guess is, we never talked about this. Your energy costs right now, are they, how, like, has it gone up crazily for you the last 4 years?
I think the base cost has, but ever since Lindis did the installation the insulation job, it's gone down tremendously. I'm trying to think of a figure, maybe even cutting the monthly, and again, we're talking about summertime with air conditioning, wintertime heating, I bet it's been cut in half.
It's pretty typical for us. You know, a lot of times we get to houses and the furnace system is basically running enough where it's changing over the air in the house about 30 times a day. So if we can cut that to only having to operate about, we're changing the air out about 15 times a day, we're cutting the use of the furnace in half. So your energy bill should go in half. And what people don't factor in is how much longer that makes your furnace last. If your furnace is running 50% or less of the time, that really should be, well, you know, you're hopeful. Like I have a water heater right now, Denny, that's 23 years old, and I'm sure when this one fails, the next one will fail in the first 10 years. And I always feel that way about furnaces and AC. I have an AC unit that's 36 years old right now. And these are, again, this is my experiments that my wife always makes fun of me over, because I could probably save some money and have a much better water heater in that one area if I were to change them out, or in my AC unit as well. But if you have a properly insulated home that's working the way it should, all of your utilities should last longer, and that should be factored into yeah, this insulation job cost me $10,000. But how much money does it save you over the next 10 years?
Yeah, absolutely. And I never really thought about the furnace living longer, lasting longer. You're right.
Yeah.
And it's what the crews did to our house a couple of different times, actually, because of different levels of attic. Is that typical where they vacuum out all the remaining whatever was up there? Ours had hardly had any. You vacuum out the old insulation, and then you spray foam, right? What's the rest of the operation?
Yeah, we're gonna add 2.5 inches of spray foam to most attics, and then we're gonna blow in cellulose over the top of that to get to the desired R value. And it really does depend on the pitch of the roof. Where if we can get to an R60, we will. Some designs of homes really don't allow us to get maybe to an R60. So we're installing an R50 in those areas. And I'm telling you, it's one of those home improvements that you don't get to see, but you definitely tell the difference in how often your furnace runs. But more importantly, how much more comfortable your house is. As we go around, we always find, like, this is the one room I can't be in the wintertime. Or we can usually make those rooms markedly more comfortable once we do the insulation project than they were beforehand.
Yeah, it's just an amazing difference. You have a home improvement question? 651-461-9226. Texter says this, asks this, Andy, are there any natural or man-made products that look like cedar 1x4 planking that holds up over time with little maintenance?
Are they talking about like 1x4 planking for decking, or is this siding?
Yeah, it doesn't say. They don't explain it any further than that. I'd like a little more information on that. I'm not sure. Are they talking decking? I don't know.
When it comes to decking, I think the Millboard product does as good a job as anybody of looking like a wood deck and having, you know, the right type of grain to it. And when it comes to siding, LP does as good a job to looking like wood as any project out there. Although, you know, like the one that the LP makes a smooth siding and a textured siding. I'm telling you, their new finish, the LP Expert finish on the smooth siding, they have a two-tone finish that looks really, really good. And for me to say that, I'm not a big fan of two-tone siding. Two-tone is where two different types of colors of siding is put on there to make it look like wood grain and have a little bit more depth and texture to it. My problem with two-tone has always been once you're like 30, 40 feet away from the house, you can't tell that it's two-tone. You got to get really close in order to see that. So, but I think the smooth side on the LP Expert finish does a pretty good job with that. It might be the best two-tone look that I've seen. But when it comes to decking, Millboard, when it comes to siding, LP are the products that we use that I think last longer than cedar and have a better warranty than cedar for sure, but aesthetically look more like natural wood than any of the other products we can choose to put on your home.
Listener wants to know, if I need new siding, how late in the season can Lindis do the work? I guess
all
that depends,
long.
Huh?
Really, most years, there's only a couple weeks of the year that we're not going to be installing siding. It's one of those things. There's not a lot. We can keep our paint warm for the cut edges that we need to. We can keep the caulking warm that we need to. Worst case scenario, we come back when it's a little bit more hospitable to finish the caulking. But majority of the time, we install siding in January and February every year. There's usually only a handful of days, up to maybe 14 days a year, where it's just too cold for us to work on other people's houses. I personally love those days of the year because that's when I can get things done on my own home. And
yes.
When I was building my shed, it was during the polar vortex. I had upwards of 20 guys in my garage putting on the ceiling. And the ceiling I did was seamless steel. It looks like standing seam. It looks like board and batten siding, but I put that on the ceiling of my shed. And it was awesome. That many fellas in one spot during the day we got that entire, my shed is 45 by 90. And
wow.
In a day and a half, we got the ceiling installed. So it was, it was a great time for me, but I remember leaving my house. I kind of live up on a hill, and I kind of go overlook my little hometown, and I stopped there. This was that polar vortex, I don't know, 15 years ago or so, and it looked like every chimney and exhaust pipe on a roof was working, and I never seen that beforehand or since, but that day was too cold for my guys to work anywhere else but my house, and every furnace in town was on at the exact same time. That's pretty rare to see. That was, I want to say the actual temperature that day was 22 below.
Oh, yeah.
So with the wind chill and like that 50, 60 below, it was dangerous to be outside.
Well, that's quite a man cave you got there. That's massive. Wow.
It is, you know, it was the first time I ever built anything new for myself, and I sourced a lot of the materials locally and did most of the work myself. I had a lot of help from, you know, the folks at Lindis Construction coming in on rain days and things like that. But, this is tore down the old pig barn and then put up a man cave that is pretty respectable. The man cave that all other man caves should be judged by.
Yeah, I should say, you could have wedding receptions there. Have you thought about that?
Well, we've had a rehearsal dinner here, or the groom's dinner, when my son was married, and we've had lots of Christmases and birthday parties here. In fact, I have a couple of whitetails mounted that still have birthday hats on it from when I had my grandson's birthday in here a couple months ago. You know, someday I'll get the ladder back out and take some of these birthday hats off the wildlife mounts.
In the meantime, wow, great place. All right, hang on, Andy. We need to take a break. Be right back with more. We have more questions to get answered here. If you have one, 651-461-9226 from Newstalk 830. This is WCCO. And good morning. Welcome back to this final portion of our Home Improvement Show. If you have that kind of a question, love to hear from you. 651-461-9226. Andy Lindis answering those questions this morning. Henny, here's another text. See how many folks we can help out before you take your leave. Good morning. Texter says, if my siding is in good shape, but I need windows, would Lindis recommend replacing with good steel siding? Well, I don't know if your siding is good shape. Why would you need to replace it, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of ways to install windows without replacing the siding. Sometimes we can, depending on the type of siding, take it down and put it back up. That's pretty easy to do with vinyl and steel siding, harder to do with cedar and LP or Hardy's even. Like it's pretty rare that the Hardy is just not a siding I particularly enjoy trying to uninstall or reinstall. It's almost impossible. But where there's a will, there's a way. If you're just looking at replacing windows, most of my window projects we have going, mind you, I have, I think, 11 crews doing windows and doors right now. Most of those projects don't require any of our siding professionals to be there. So we can take a look at it. And that's, again, one of the nice things about our estimates. You're going to know that pretty fast up front, whether you have stucco, brick, any type of siding. More often than not, we can install windows without redoing the siding. I'm just saying, when you're redoing the siding on a house that is original to 1945, if the windows are original too, I would highly recommend looking at replacing at least some of the windows. One of the nice parts about if you do it the right way with a nail fin, sometimes you can just cut around the window, put the nail fin on, and then redo that with trim around the exterior of the house. We do that a lot in order to get a full frame installation. Where a lot of window installers, the vast majority of windows being installed in Twin Cities this next week are going to be insert windows. And it's not something I really ever entertain unless I absolutely have to do it. Just because I know that one, you're shrinking the size of the window, but you're doing nothing to address any of the water or air infiltration on the edge of the window. So it's not uncommon for people to spend $20,000, $30,000 and replace their windows with inserts and still feel the draft coming out of their trim. And for me, if I'm replacing the window, I'm looking at replacing everything, including the extension tram, the interior trim, the exterior brick molding. All of that should get replaced. If I had to choose between replacing all of my windows with an insert or just a few of them full frame, I would replace just a few of them full frame. I think that's that big of a difference in the type of install that you get and the type of air infiltration and water infiltration that you're going to get on those projects. I take a look at that.
Okay. Texter says, can Andy discuss the maintenance one needs to do with LP siding?
Yeah. Depending on the type of pre-finish that you have, your caulking should be inspected every year. And make sure that, like when we do a visual inspection of an LP project, we're going to make sure that the cut edges were painted where they should be painted. And we're going to inspect all the flashing and all the caulking around the exterior of the home. Make sure that there's no fail spots. What you have to remember with products like LP or any of the cement boards out there, a lot of them rely on the caulking to keep water from getting into the product. And if the caulking fails, that's where you see the product start to delaminate, pull loose, or, you know, the hardy job I was at this week, you know, you could poke your finger right through the wall. That's how it's literally mush. And it was because of failed caulking, painting, and flashing that led to that. So if you visually inspect those yearly, you're going to be in a much better spot than most people. And that's why one of the things that we do with our maintenance plan, and when we sell a siding project now, we're letting them know that we're going to include the first year of maintenance program 3 to do that inspection. But then we would recommend that either they inspect that yearly themselves, or they can hire us to have us come out and do the annual inspection, fix any type of caulking that needs to be fixed, look at the flashing, just make sure that no water is getting to spots that it shouldn't. You know, when you're putting on a siding project that the paint finish itself has like a 35-year warranty, you just got to take some steps to make sure it lasts the intended 35 years.
All right, Andy, couple of minutes to go on the show. Texter wants to know, is it possible you could put your thermostat upstairs where it's cooler? Do you think that's a good idea?
You could. The problem with putting it in the cold room is the other rooms are going to be much more warm. You know, I recently, somehow, there was a thermostat in my family, ended up near an exterior door, and I moved that thermostat to a warmer part of the house so the furnace would run less. And maybe it's just a matter of adjusting where the thermostat is. So if you know that where the thermostat is downstairs, where if you raise it a couple of degrees where it only turns off then, maybe that gets the upstairs a comfortable level. Or you can look at having an HVAC professional out and set it up in zones. I don't know if that's possible with your existing furnace system, but for me, in my house, I have, you know, 5 zones, and they're all ran on their own thermostats. So it kicks the heat on where it needs to be.
Last 60 seconds of the show to go. Does Lindis always inspect the attic when they're evaluating a house for a roof replacement?
When possible, yes. Yep. Yeah. You really can't look at the roof and talk about making the roof last as long as it should without looking inside the attic. Now, some houses, that's impossible. There's just no attic access for whatever reason, or it's a lot of vaulted ceilings. So we're going to have to make sure we're making some command decisions the day of install. If we can get in through the roof decking, we can plan for that. But the way we go about business is we want to get into every single attic when we're looking at a roof, because there's just no way of knowing about your intake and proper attic ventilation and the R value of your attic without looking at it.
Sounds good, Andy. We got to fly. Let's do this again next week.
Sounds great. Thanks, Denny. Bye-bye.
You bet. Andy Lindis. Yeah, if you want to get in touch, you've got a project in mind, by all means, call Lindis this coming week, 844-9-LINDIS. Denny Long, thanking you for your company. See you next week.